who knows, you know. I can be blackmailed 10 times over, except I don't respond to terrorists. Okay, we're recording now. And so Jim Allen's not here. Whoopee! All right, let's go to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 11, and he said a certain man had two sons, okay, and we've discussed that this certain man was not just any man, he's a father. And we know that if Jesus is going to declare anything, he's going to declare the Father. The Father will not declare himself. The Father says very little in this story from any other perspective other than he goes out to sons. He goes out to born-again sons to bring them into the Son, which is Christ. And just to qualify that, in case someone picks this up and starts listening here, we've spoken much on this, but there is this reality that, beloved, you know, what I forget the exact words, that we should be called the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It is not yet manifested. But when he, the Son, appears, then we're like him. We're not just born again like us, being still basically like us. Certainly more polished, but not yet. And, you know, I use that word loosely, polished, because there's a lot of fakery in Christianity, because people don't know how to be real, not necessarily out of just evil intent, but they don't even know who they are yet, personally, until that takes place. It can't be Christ revealed in you, because it has to be you, not some persona that has been placed on Facebook. And that, my friends, that's my sermon for the day. Okay. and the reality of that is, so we're looking at, I mean, just considering John, I mean, let's just go to 1 John 3. We're considering that in light of the prodigal son. And so I'm going to read this, and I want you to see something here of what this pertains to. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, or the sons of God. We're in the family. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And you can't conform to let's put it this way. You can't conform in the meaning of the way that the scriptures talk about, and in the meaning of what is desired by the Father, by the Son, by the Holy Spirit. You can't conform to an image in the manner that God would want conformity. And the image is a false concept of God, an idol, an image, a false, you know, don't have false images. A false image of the Father, a false image of the Son, a false image of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and therefore the Holy Spirit, misrepresenting the Holy Spirit. So, it clues us from the very beginning when it says, behold, verse 1 again, behold what manner of love the Father. Okay, so it's talking about, after that statement, it's talking about two different kinds of sons or two different kinds of family members. There are the sons of God, which the King James calls it, but it's really the word tiknon, which is child, which if you remember in the prodigal son story, the father called the elder son child. Now, how humiliating is that? Well, okay, but how real is that? You know, and but when he, the son, it shall appear, we shall be like him. That's the goal. Okay. But we make it about born again sons and conforming to the son. But this is a manner of love. A matter of love and a manner of love. Of the Father pertaining to sons. And so there is this hidden reality of the Father, except like particularly in the Gospel of John, or anything that John writes, where the Son is at work in John. How do we know that? Because John declares the Father so much. That's the Son. But see, we don't see these signals and signs. We're not aware of the very things that identify the Lord and identify the Father and identify this. And the only, you know, no man knoweth the Father but the Son. So we're not going to really know him until that Son has appeared. Has first by revelation and then by manifestation. And when he does by revelation, what is the first result of that? He cries, Abba, Father. In us. That's the first thing that it's like, you know, if a baby when it's first born could talk, he might say dada or mama. Christ revealed, not born again in us, but revealed in us the first burst of new life, of other life that comes out of us is the Son towards his Father. Okay. And it has, you know, the first burst isn't, you know, my God, Randy, you've come to a revelation of Christ. You finally attained. Or any of that stupid stuff that relates to, in our mind, to what this is all about and what we're trying to get. The joy of the Father. We don't recognize the joy of the Father when that Son comes forth and cries, Abba, Father. And he goes, this is the first real cry from their being that had any eternal value at all. Abba, Father. We say, well, you know, I've been a Christian for years and I've done all kind of stuff and, you know, and it's really helped and God is real pleased with me. You know, just leave that last part off. You're just asking for trouble. You know, you're just asking for trouble. Just focus on the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit and how they move and what joy comes, which we have in the prodigal son story, what joy comes when that son starts responding back. I mean, before that, the Father already in his eyes sees the Son in a son, sees the Son and a born-again son. He already sees that. So he's putting the ring on, and so he's putting the robe on, so he's putting the shoes on. He's already responding to the Son, not to the Christian. I mean, that's revolutionary if a person really began to comprehend. I mean, and it would be revolutionary in our lives because we would step out of this little test tube of Christianity into the very heart and view and vision of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father and the Holy Spirit for the Son and this continuous movement of life that in itself has nothing to do with us or, you know, first of all, it's outside of us. But second of all, we've been brought into that. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called. But we're only called that. But even when we step into it, once you step into it, it is more not about you than at any other time because of that nature, because they honor one another. It literally sucks the life out of you, thank God. And it puts it puts the life that was sucked out of you in that relationship where now you're focused on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not yourself. But it puts that life in the eyes and heart of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they're for you, but you have to be for them. I've often thought, you know, people talk a lot about heaven and whatever, and so I've talked about this many times in the past, but I see us, you know, walking streets of gold and, you know, dwelling among mansions the way people see heaven, and I see somebody come up and they ask us for our coat and, you know, we go, okay, you know, and you give him, and then he says, well, give me a cloak also, and you'll do that. And then he goes to the next person and asks them for their coat. And pretty soon he's got a stack of everybody's coats in heaven because he doesn't have that spirit. It's about him. And for lack of a better way of saying it, I'll just say it like this. God's not going to allow that among the family. He's not going to allow that. We are given a lot of latitude by the Father. Prodigal son story for both sons. Am I right or wrong? Oh my God! The patience, the wonder of that, and we're given a lot of latitude, not without pain to him, but we don't hear the pain of the Father in that story, do we? We don't hear it. He doesn't declare himself. He can. Only the Son will stand up for the Father. See, only the Son will go this, you know, or only the Holy Spirit will say, you need to go say I'm sorry to the Father, or you need to go say I'm sorry to the Son. The Son will never say that about himself. The Father will never say that about himself. But we have one of them in every case that will bring us into their heart and the true state that they're in, because we can't read them. We can only read them by knowing their nature. But the very nature of that makes it where you can't read how deep the hurt is. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's really... it's really something. So it puts us on a different ground than we are down here. And, you know, down here we go, oh, you know. I mean, someone that wears their hurts or problems on their sleeve, you know they're going through it. You know what I mean? And, you know, usually some people will either get mad or separate or, you know, react or in some manner show or go tell someone else, but in some manner they have to manifest their hurts or their this or that, and so they will do that. But the Father's not going to manifest something like that, because that's not his nature. He's not about himself. I need you to see. Look, I wonder, you know. He's not going to do that. You're going to look at him and he's going to love you like you never did anything. You know what I'm saying. That's his heart. That's the way he is. So how do we read? How do we read these things? Well, we read God again. We read God by saying, oh, they're okay, which means I'm okay, right? When we could be in the worst possible state. Now, That's why Jesus said, but I got to send the Comforter, which really is like a lawyer. The word there is more like a lawyer, you know. Paraclete, which is a lawyer term, a term for a lawyer. He said, I'm going to send him, and he's going to declare mine, and he's going to take mine and show it unto you, and he's going to glorify me, and he's going to, well, but it also says that he will show you of your sin and that sort of thing. He'll show you that. Well, we go, oh, it's the Holy Spirit's job to make Christians repent and feel sorry for all the bad stuff they do. Well, that's the way. Am I right or wrong here? This is the way that we think, because it's about us always. But he's come to bring to stuff to mind about the Father and the Son and about all of that and their relationship, their understanding, their view, and the sin that we constantly do against them. So Jesus said, I have to go away. I have to go away. I've got to go away. But I'm going to send the Paraclete, and he's going to come, and he's going to do what Jesus said he would do. All right. So if our view of that is simply sin, then we will go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we will see the other view of him is the gifts of the Spirit. And then we will want to do miracles and stuff because it talks about the Spirit's work. And we will make him something he's not. And we also will miss out on something that's very important. You know, most people don't like correction. Most people, there are people who run from correction. There are people who close up their ears. There are people who can ignore it even when it's happening or just, you know, not even get it. The Holy Spirit has no place when you've built those walls. He can't get through. And so we go, well, I just don't want to be corrected all the time. Well, you're not going to be corrected all the time because his only job is not to correct you for your violations. His job is to bring you to a place where Christ can be revealed in you. And when that comes, there's going to be less of you, therefore less sin and whatever. And there's going to be more of him. And he's going to be so happy to reveal the Son. And the Son's going to be so happy, like the prodigal son, when he starts realizing the Father's heart from that angle. Then he go first, you know, there's all of that, and it seems to me like he's in wonder, what's going on here? Then he begins to discover all of that in the face of the Father, in the heart of the Father. And then he gets over to the altar where the fatted calf is slain, and then it begins to all come to light, and they start making merry. And what we would have thought, it's just a repentance thing. The Father and Son call it a feast. A feast. And it's the kind of feast that's like party feast. Remember the elder son, well, I hear dancing and what's going on in there? Pappy never dances, you know. Well, he does when it comes to his son. Praise God. Amen. Well, 20 minutes already done. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break. And for you people on Skype, hi Sharon. For you guys, get down in the Word during the break. Amen. Mike, get in there and go after Jesus. And then we'll all get something to drink and relax and go to the bathroom. And we'll come back in a short time.